of God out tonight, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Amen. Do you love him tonight with all of your heart? Praise God. That's where it's at. Matthew 4, 18, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. If we were to look at this from just a little bit of a different angle here tonight, we could see Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee and seeing two brothers, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me. More than a call of God, what it was the mercy of God. There were lots of fishermen, lots of men doing the very same thing on the very same day. But out of all of those that were doing the commerce of the day, God came and robed himself in flesh, singled out two men and said, you, I want you, I want to rewrite your life. I want to rewrite your life. You know why we're here tonight? Because the Lord chose to rewrite our life. Amen. I want him to rewrite my life. I don't want to write it for myself, but I want him to write it. And that call of God is actually mercy. Amen. And I want to talk about mercy tonight and what mercy has done for us and what mercy can do for us. Praise God. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for truth. We're asking you to anoint the word of God and to speak to us. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise God. You know, if we examine the ways of man, there's really two ways that we can go. And I know this sounds black and white here, but it really is. We can go the right way or we can go the wrong way. There is a right way and there is a wrong way. We know that the right way is God's way. Amen? And the wrong way is our way. In fact, Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so when we get involved in our own way, then we fall short of the glory of God. In other words, we fall short of the good way. We fall short of the right way. We rewrite our future and our direction when we fall into sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And so there's not a one of us here tonight, nor any one of us on the earth that is righteous, and none that have not sinned, but all have sinned. And when we sin, sin has a pen, and it writes the future for everybody that's involved in it. It just begins to write your future. And as I've been teaching in the Bible studies, that sin has a nature to it. It is never fulfilling, and it is always progressive. Amen. It never satisfies, but it continues down a particular road. It's interesting that we chase after sin and we want things so badly, and then when we get them, we try to get away from it because of the destruction that it brings us. But after we have chased after sin, then it has a way of turning against us and chasing after us. Amen. And I want you to know that it will catch you. Amen. And it will complete its story in your life. If we were to go to Daniel chapter 5 tonight, and let's do that, we would read about a king, Belshazzar, and he was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. And Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of the Lord, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines drank in them. And they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver and brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Amen. Thinking that they're just having a grand old time. Nebuchadnezzar was spoken of by God as being the head of gold, the greatest kingdom that ever was on the face of the earth, and that every other kingdom would be lesser kingdoms from Babylon. Belshazzar grew up under his father Nebuchadnezzar, was obviously a favorite of his father, and was appointed to be the very next king of the greatest kingdom on the face of the earth. And so in his pride and in his desire to just do whatever he would want to do, he had a feast. And let me tell you, these feasts that they had were not like anything that we have, a Thanksgiving dinner or a Christmas dinner or a church banquet might last for 2 or 3 hours, and then we dismiss and go home. But some of these feasts and banquets that they had in Bible days lasted 30, 60, 90 days, some several months that they would go day after day after day. And they would have singers to come, and they would have magicians to come, and they would just party. That's all that it was for days and days and days. And finally, after a while, they were feeling free to do whatever they wanted to do. And Belshazzar took the sin level and ramped it up really high. And he said, get the vessels out of the house of God in Jerusalem, and let's praise the gods of silver and gold and brass. And we read that tonight. And as they were singing their songs and as they were involved in their sin, all of a sudden a hand with a pen began to write something upon the wall, the plaster over against the wall. Amen. And I'm just preaching tonight that sin will write your future. And it will write out some things that you really don't want to happen, because when the hand began to write upon the wall of the plaster there. Amen. Let's look at it. Verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Amen. His knees started knocking against each other. Amen. The connection of his legs to his loins, to his torso, began to shake. He was about to collapse with a nervous situation here, as a hand began to write upon the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Yusa, Farsun, and it began to write upon the wall. Nobody could understand the writing, but I'm telling you, they were not happy that this situation was taking place. There is something about sin. It will write your future. Amen. And he probably was thinking, you know, surely I don't have to worry about how I live. I'm the king. Amen. And I don't have to worry about my future because I'm the king. I can determine my future. One of the things, I suppose, in our generation, especially here in America, that we are free agents. And the truth of it is, God has made us free agents so that we can do whatever we want to do. But I want you to know tonight that God has given us a pen. Amen. God has given us a pen so that we can write some things down. We can write down our future if we are doing the right thing here. Or we can write a future that's good. We can write a future that's bad. And if I could go a step further tonight, God's given each of us a pen so that we can help to write the future of other people as well. Praise God. The pen that I want to talk about tonight is called mercy. Well, praise God. It's mercy. And there was this writing on the wall. And if you please, it was the writing of sin. It was the end of the story for this man's life. He had played out the chapters of sin. He had involved himself in so many things. And finally, he came to the end. And they brought in Daniel, who interpreted this and said, "Your days are numbered. Your kingdom is over. It's going to be divided by the Medes and the Persians." And the scripture says, in that very night, he was killed. He was assassinated that very night because he had gone too far in sin. I want you to know tonight, young person, don't go get involved in sin. Praise the Lord. And for the rest of us, don't get involved in sin. It's not worth it. It will not bless your life. It will not help you. It will not write the future that you really want to have in your life. Amen. But what we need to do is we need to take the pen that God has given to us, and we need to write the future. That pen is what I want to call mercy tonight. Let's go back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, which is right before the book of Daniel. And I want you to see that God has a way of rewriting our lives. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite." And you do a little bit of study, and you'll find that God said, "I'm going to have a battle, and I'm going to be against Ammon. From now on, from generation to generation, I'm going to fight against them." And so here's Israel. And Israel, their descendant is the Amorite and the Hittite. These were sinners. These were people that did not worship God. These were people that had written their own future, and ultimately it was a future of destruction. And he said, "As for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thy washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion on thee, but thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, When thou wast in thine own blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live." Well, praise God. There is a pen of judgment that we can write over our lives. And all we have to do is be unmerciful. And all we have to do is to write sin into our lives, and we will write our future. God has given each and every one of us the power of choice. And that choice is to be merciful or to not be merciful. Praise God. But I know that when we talk about God and we talk about His direction in our life, it's right there in Ezekiel chapter 16. We were thrown out into the field. Amen. We were not washed. We were not swaddled or wrapped up. Amen. We were not salted. The Bible says, or not the Bible, but history tells us that they would rub salt over their children when they were born, and they would swaddle them, they would wrap them up, and it was just a custom of their day. And so they would be cared for, in other words. But here, this child was not cared for. Let me just tell you tonight that sin will not care for you. Doesn't care about you. Well, praise God. The devil doesn't care about you. Amen. In reality, no one cares about you but Jesus. Amen. Thank God for good parents, and thank God for friends that do care. Amen. But when it comes to this spiritual darkness, the devil doesn't care. Amen. He'll smile and tell you a beautiful story, but he doesn't care. He wants to destroy. The thief comes to destroy, to kill, to destroy. Amen. And to take away everything. Amen. He is like the thieves on the road to Jericho that will beat you and strip you and take everything away, take all of your dignity away from you. Amen. Don't get involved in sin. Don't get involved in sin, because sin has no mercy. And those that are in sin have no mercy. Amen. But God has called us, and God has given us a pen to write the future. Praise God. God has given us a pen that we can write the future of our lives. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And so when we have the pen of mercy, and things come along in our lives, amen, if we will begin to use that pen of mercy and write it over our life and write it over others, praise God, then we will have the very best life that we can have in this life. The future of Israel was rewritten here. They were thrown into the field. Amen. Nobody pitied them to do anything for them, but they were cast out into the field. Amen. But when I pass by, he said, when God passed by, he began to rewrite their future. Praise God. I want my future to be rewritten. Amen. I want the Lord to come along and give me something to live for. And here were the apostles. They were out fishing. We know this story. It's so familiar. And they were out fishing, and the Lord passed by. Here were men who had written their own lives. They had written down on the paper of their life, "I'm going to be a fisherman. I love to get out on the ocean. I love to get out and fish." Amen. We've got some folks, I know some friends, people that love to fish. And I called one just the other day, or actually I think it was last night, and I could hear that he was driving down the road, and I said, "Did I catch you at a bad time?" "No." I said, "Are you driving down the road?" "Yeah, I'm driving down the road." I said, "Well, I knew you were either driving down the road or out in your boat fishing." And he said, "I wished I was out in my boat fishing." Amen. Because these men loved it. They wrote it into their lives. "I want to be a fisherman." Praise God. I could ask all of the young people here tonight. I could ask all of us adults here tonight. What do we want to be with the rest of our life? What is the direction that we would want to go? What are you going to be when you grow up? What would you like to be? If we started over here with the little ones, we would hear all sorts of things. You know, little ones, they've got these big ideas. They like the sound of a fire truck, so they want to be a fireman. They love the sound of the blasting of the horn, so I want to be a policeman. You know, they see different things. I want to do this or I want to do that. And then we get a little bit older, and the older you get, amen, when you ask what do you want to be, the older you get, the more you hear, "You know, I really don't know. I really don't know what I want to be." Because life has a way of changing things. And as we go along in life without God, It begins to change our future and our direction. Amen. Blessed is the person that knows what they are supposed to do in life, and they jump in and they get a hold of it and they do it faithfully, whatever it is, and they're blessed. Amen. That's a wonderful thing to have. It really is. But many, many people never attain to that. And I think what we need to do is we need to find the pen that God has for us. And we need to pick it up and we need to start writing what God tells us to write. Well, praise the Lord. And it may seem strange and it may seem odd and it may not seem to fit. Amen. It may not seem to be a reality or a possibility. Amen. But if God tells you, go down and deliver those people from Egypt, just start writing it out. Because eventually it will become a reality. Praise God. If God says this or that or the other, write it down. Begin to write it down. Amen. And the future will become a reality. Praise God. But the truth of it is that as we go forward in life and we live out our lives by day, amen, we must realize that God has given us a pen of mercy. Because Joseph, God began to write in his life, gave him dreams of what the future was going to hold. And it seemed like for a long, long time, years, that dream was so far away and it was never going to come to pass. But Joseph just kept writing. And one of the things that he had to write as he went through life, reaching and striving for the will of God, he had to write mercy. You know why he had to write mercy? Because God had given him mercy. He could have died as a slave in Egypt, but God lifted him up. Time after time after time, God lifted him up. And Joseph understood the power of God's mercy in his life. Joseph understood there were hopeless situations, and all of a sudden there was a key in the door. And the man said, we're taking you out. You've got to stand before Pharaoh today. Amen. He understood it was nothing but the mercy of God and the grace of God. Amen. What we've got to understand tonight is that God wants to rewrite our lives with the pen of mercy. Amen. And if we'll pick up our pen of mercy as you travel into the will of God, there's times you're going to have mercy on others. There's times that you're going to have to write mercy. Praise God, because God has written mercy on your life. I see us here tonight where we are and where you've come from. Praise God, where I've come from. And I'm here tonight only by the grace of God. And you're here tonight only by the grace of God. Can you say amen to that? Our lives have been changed. Our lives have truly been changed, just like the apostles' lives were changed. Amen. And their lives were rewritten from fishers to fishermen of men, from someone who was unnamed and unknown to the man whose name is written in the foundation of heaven itself. It seemed way out there. It seemed like something that could not be a possibility. But I'm telling you tonight, God's future, when God begins to write his future into your life, it's going to be because he's writing mercy into your life. And he's going to change the direction of your life, not because you deserve it, but simply because he has mercy. Are you thankful tonight for his mercy? I'm thankful for his mercy tonight. Amen. And they went on to be great men. Amen. What does the pages of your life say at this point? You might say, well, Pastor, it doesn't look very good. I'm telling you tonight, friend, God's mercy has a way of writing good things down. God's mercy does not come along. God does not come along and write judgment after judgment after judgment after judgment. Well, praise God. God does not come along and write criticism after criticism after criticism. I want to ask you tonight, if you are a person that only criticizes yourself, and you criticize and criticize and criticize, I want you to know tonight that when you write criticisms of yourself over and over and over again, eventually you're going to begin to believe what you're writing down. Well, praise God. I'm just going to minister a little bit here tonight, and I feel this in my heart. Praise God, because as we are as we believe in our heart, that's what we are. And we write down every time we fail. And we write down every time that nothing goes right. I tell you what we're doing. We're writing the story of our life based upon our past. Because the past contains what we've done. Amen. Is anybody here tonight fault-free? Let me see your hand. Oh, I'm sorry. I had my hand up. I need to put my hand down. Amen. None of us are fault-free. Praise God, because all have sinned. I read it. Amen. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Fred, you're never going to get anywhere by looking at your failures over and over and over again. None of us are going to get anywhere by looking at our failures and our shortcomings and the things that we did wrong in the past. I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to get out the pen of God's mercy. And we need to understand that when God writes mercy over that, praise God, when we went down in the waters in Jesus' name, there was a pen of mercy that took every page of your life and X'd it out. Well, praise God. Do we believe that tonight? I believe that tonight. And He X'd out every part of our past. Amen. There's not a time that I remember that God said, let's go back to page 5 and let's revisit page 5. I'm glad we've never had to do that. Praise God. I'm glad that when the Lord blots it is blotted out for good. Amen. So what good do we do by going back to page 5, erasing the X, and doing a little bit of a study in that and look it over again and again and again? You're not going to be blessed by doing that. Amen. But mercy, God's mercy, rewrote our life. And we're here in the blessings of God tonight. We're here in the goodness of God tonight, simply because He took out His pen of mercy and He said, forgiven. Well, praise the Lord. And I'm going to go somewhere. I want to just give you a thought tonight, and maybe it'll help you through the rest of the week. I hope it will. Amen. And what we must do when He rewrites our life, we must allow Him to do it. And when somebody comes along and says, I remember what you did. I've got a book that I wrote things down in, and it's not blotted out. I remember what you did. And they take page 5 and they open it up and they begin to read it to you. I'll tell you what we need to do to have a blessed future. We need to get our pen out again and say, God, X that out, and just X out theirs. Amen. And say, maybe I did that. Yes, I did do that. But God has forgiven me, and my future is not based upon what I did back then. Well, praise God. God rewrites our life with mercy, the pen of mercy. Amen. And yet we've got to allow Him to do it. Amen. I'll tell you, the story is already written for the good, because our future is predestinated. The plan is predestinated. It's just up to us to get a hold of God's pen of mercy and understand what He has written in our lives And when we have that pen in our hand, there's going to be a Potiphar's wife you'll have to forgive. There's going to have to be a jailer that you'll forgive. You'll have to forgive. There'll have to be some brothers that sold you into slavery that you forgive. Amen. There's going to have to be yourself that you forgive. Praise the Lord. Peter's name, the Apostle Peter, Simon Peter, is going to be written on the foundation of heaven. And guess what he had to do? He had to forgive himself because he denied the Lord three times. Amen. And it was written down. Praise God. Let me see your hands again. How many have fallen short? Praise God. Well, how would you like it if somebody wrote a book and called it the Bible and the word will never go away and your failure is written down in that book? David's sin is written down in the book for generation after generation to see what he has done. I'll tell you, I'm glad that the Bible has been written and there's no more that's put down, because I wouldn't want my stuff written in a book for everybody to read. Amen. But it's over with. Praise God. Mercy has written it out. Praise God. And I'm free tonight. And there's something else that the pen of mercy does. Amen. In the end of this matter, we can see that God speaks to us about our future and what he wants us to be, rather than bringing up our failures and our shortcomings. Praise God. I want to ask you tonight, when you go to God in prayer after you have done some things that you shouldn't, after you have sinned and you have fallen short of God, I want to ask you today, does God put his loving arm around you and you feel his forgiveness when you come to him? I want you to know that's what I feel, and that's my experience with God. How many has ever experienced that? Praise the Lord. You know why? Because God knows how he responds to our shortcomings will determine our future. If every time we went to God, God had a list of things that we had done wrong. Now, I hope we're listening tonight. I'm going to finish here in just a few moments. But if every time we come into the presence of God, amen, it's shortcoming, 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 shortcoming. Failure, 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 failure. And God brings up everything that we've done wrong and our attitudes and everything. I want you to know it wouldn't be very long and we would not want to be in his presence. And it would not be very long until we began to believe what God said and we would become a shortcoming person. We would become a failure. But God knows the power of mercy, and he has a pen of mercy, and when we come to him, he begins to write the future. Praise God. And he writes down blessing, and he writes down goodness, and he writes down forgiveness, and he writes down, you're going to rise to the heights. Your name is going to be in the foundation of heaven. All the while, we've got our head down feeling like we're a failure. Well, praise God. I'm preaching something that'll give us joy. I'm preaching something tonight that'll give us peace in our spirit and in our heart. Amen. You don't have to live in the past, but what we need to do is live in mercy. Praise God. And so we have that pen that God gave us and mercy. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so we have obtained mercy. And now it's time for us to give mercy. Praise God. I want to ask you tonight, how do you talk to people? What do you say to people? You know what pen you have that you write over other people? It's not a literal pen like this, but it's right here in your mouth. It's the words that come out of our mouth. Praise God. And we will write things over other people. Amen. I remember one time And I'm sure he probably doesn't remember it, but I remember it. All of us have a way of remembering negative things. Amen. We're very self-critical of ourselves. And I remember my brother telling me one time, "I always thought you were stupid, but now I know you are." You know what? That stuck with me all my life. And for many years, I thought, boy, maybe he's right. Maybe there's something wrong with me. And I began to think about that. And it really bothered me for a long time till I came to the Lord and I realized that that's not the case. Amen. I'm still really dumb. Amen. But I'm telling you what, with God's wisdom, I can rise up above my dumbness. If that's a word. Amen. Well, praise God. How do we talk to people? How do you talk to people? What is your method of getting them to do what you want them to do? Amen. We see in the Bible a man whose name is Stupid. His name was Nabal, and his parents named him Stupid. Every morning he got up, "Wake up, Stupid, it's time to go to school." Amen. Let's go. Get in the car, Stupid. Amen. Now it sounds funny when you talk about it like that, but how would you like to be that person? I wouldn't want to be that person because somebody's writing something over their life. And if you're not careful, they'll begin to believe it, and it will actually help to mold and shape their future. I think what we need to do when we speak to people is we need to speak to them in the way that we want them to be. Well, praise God. Amen. If a man's going to be have friends, he's got to be friendly. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because we're writing friendship over them when we're friendly. What we're doing is we're treating them the way that we want to be treated. Well, praise God. What we're doing is writing over them what we want God to write over us. And if we're harsh and critical, amen, and we are, well, praise God. Maybe I should say it this way, a perfectionist. You know what? Perfectionists are usually not very happy people. You don't see them smile very much. You know why? Because we live in an imperfect world. And for some reason, they feel like they are perfect and everybody else has to be perfect. But the truth of it is tonight, none of us are perfect. Amen. Don't look at me like that. Amen. Because you know I'm telling you the truth. None of us are perfect. All have fallen short. Amen. So what do we do in this imperfect world? We get out God's pen and treat others the way God treats us. He's our example tonight. He is the one that does it a certain way. Let's do it His way. Praise God. Let's do it His way. God help a poor congregation that only hears judgment, 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 criticism, condemnation, over and over again. You're going to find a congregation that does not think of itself very highly. Amen. You look at a family where the parents tell the children, "Stupid, stupid, stupid." After a while, you're going to have children that have no confidence in themselves. Amen. That have no feeling of self-worth within themselves because it is written over them over and over and over and over again. But I'm telling you, when I go to God in prayer, I don't know about you, He tells me He loves me. Praise God. Parents, tell your children that you love them. Praise God. Tell them that you love them. Amen. Because it is an expression that will help them to grow and to be good people. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm perfect, and I feel like God's called me to make the world perfect. Well, God bless you. We'll stand back and see how it all works. Amen. The rest of us are just going to have a good time living life while you're trying to change the world. We appreciate your great high accomplishment or desire. Amen. But the only way that you're going to do that is to become God. And let me tell you, God's not going to change the world. He will if they come to Him. But if they don't come to Him, amen, He's not going to change the world. And so I'm not going to step out of the will of God. I want to do it the way God does it. How many tonight's experienced mercy? How many loves the feeling of having mercy? I love the feeling of having mercy in my life. Amen. And if you will take the pen of mercy, that's the message I want to give you tonight, the pen of mercy. Amen. And accept the truth and the reality and the power of mercy. I'm telling you tonight, life will take on a completely different course in your life, and things will go better than they would have otherwise. Let's stand together tonight. Well, praise God. Praise God. I'm sorry, we're not going to try to push this up the hill any further. Praise God. We're just going to let it go and run back down the hill. And we'll fire it up and see if we can't get up over the hill Sunday. Amen. How many thinks we can get over the hill Sunday? I think we can. Praise God. I know everybody's tired. We have been working hard on a lot of things. But I'm telling you, God's in control of our life, and the Word of God is so very powerful. Start tonight, if you haven't already, and get out the pen of mercy and write it over somebody. And when you expect something out of them and they don't perform, go up and tell them that you love them. And when they treat you wrong, just put a smile on your face. It's so hard to do, isn't it? Just put a smile on your face and say, I'm glad you're my friend. Write something over their life. You're not going to write over them their infractions and their failures and their shortcomings. Write over their life what you want them to become. Praise God. And if you'll write that over their life, it might just be that they may become that at some point in time. Praise God. And life will get brighter and brighter. Father, we thank you. Can we just pray together?